Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, these fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, what it is, what it was, what it will be. What it is what it is.
So there's this Brock Lesnar fella.
Yes.
Who's going to be competing at this, what do you call this, UFC?
I think, what's this, the Ultimate Fighting World? It's something, the Ultimate Fighting World.
Yes, he was it from the Ultimate Fighting World.
The Ultimate Fighting World.
It was, yes.
He's going to be going back into the Ultimate Fighting World. And face Ken Shamrock.
I believe that's the opponent that's there.
You know, originally you had said, hey, let's start doing the show on Sundays. I thought, okay, well, that's the best day for you, and I'll figure it out. And I thought, but you know, I mean, it's going to suck because there'll never be any big news then. And, mm-hmm. and like the next day will be Raw and we'll always be like a week behind it.
No.
Good call.
Here we are.
We're one of the fresher shows to talk about this because,
that's what I do.
This is breaking news almost. It's only about 12 hours ago.
Yes.
We found out Brock Lesnar, on a one-off deal coming back to fight for UFC while still under WWE contract.
Yes, under the World Wrestling
there
Federation
is
contract.
So many angles to, like, dissect on this story.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
It is like a frog in high school. Mm. So many angles to dissect.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See? I see.
See what I did there?
Oh, no.
It's that thorax thing.
Oh, thank you. Did that thing ever smell?
Yeah. Well, look at UFC campus. Formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde.
Yes.
Yeah. I dated a girl once named Formaldehyde.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's stung.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Hairy armpits and such.
Yeah. Well, she was French.
Oh, makes total sense then.
Yeah.
It's a law there, isn't it?
All right, so where are we going with this Brock Lesnar? Where do you want to come at it from?
Well,
first?
Should we talk about the opponent first?
Yeah, okay.
The opponent, Jack Swagger.
What?
Against Brock Lesnar at UFC 200.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yes.
Yeah, that's will be a shoot fight between them and money.
Money.
Yeah. Except for it won't be a shoot because we don't want Lesnar to actually lose.
Yes.
And not them saying he would to Swagger, but you never know in a fight.
No, that's true. That's true. This is the first ever UFC brawl for all. Let me explain. 5 points for a takedown. 5 points for a knockdown.
Yeah.
And if the opponent cannot count, reach the count of 10,
mm-hmm.
it's over.
It's over.
It is all over.
That might be what they have to do.
The brawl for all.
This is like such a weird situation.
Well, it sets up so many angles because he beats Jack Swagger at UFC 200 in the brawl for all, and then he goes after the brawl for all title at SummerSlam against Bart Gunn.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Only to then, at the SummerSlam, or at the Survivor Series, rather, he gets to avenge Bart Gunn's loss to Butterbean.
Yeah. Yeah.
This just writes... So, like, Brock Lesnar's storylines for the rest of 2016...
Money.
They've just written themselves.
Yeah.
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 This is such a weird thing.
Like, this is... Like I say, this is...
It's not unprecedented. I mean, back in 2000... Or rather, in 1996 or 97? I guess it was early 97... Where when Shamrock was first coming on, the WWF promoted on Raw with UFC stuff. They also promoted ECW pay per views as well. But I remember seeing the graphic of Ultimate or whatever of UFC on there.
Yes.
And so, like, they've done it before. Now, that would have been the Bob Meyerowitz era.
Yeah. And there was a lot of different things. It was like, okay, we'll promote you as long as you don't spend your time when you're on the air, like, you know, dissing our product as fake and it's not real and yours is real compared to it and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
It's like mutually beneficial. Okay, we'll promote you and then you don't insult us, basically.
Well, and we'll take Ken Shamrock.
And we'll take Ken Shamrock and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All that stuff. But that was a different era. I mean, we've seen them, obviously, the Rousey thing. I really want, like I say, I have so, there's so many ways to go at this, that so many points where this is, like, I look at it, on the one hand, I think it makes no sense whatsoever, and on the other hand, I think it makes 100%
sense. I know,
sense. It
makes all the sense in the world when...
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the reason why, and the reason it's going to make a lot of sense for a lot of people, that's going to turn into a lot of dollars.
Well, I was going to say it's going to make dollars, not cents, but the thing is... There's so many things in play, and there's so many things, like, I don't even know, like, I'm rambling because I don't even know where to start with
this. I don't know where to start with this.
The first thing I'll say, the reason that I think it makes sense
yeah.
is that when we look at, as of, you talk about how we do these shows on Sunday, and it, you know, but if I'd asked you Friday or yes. Thursday,
yeah.
book Brock Lesnar's summer, or book the rest of the year for Brock Lesnar, there really was no obvious way that they were going. I mean, you know how we could book it, but how do they book?
Not for, there's nobody that you're like, that's his next opponent.
No.
Right now, there's lots of people that you think that's a good opponent for him.
But yeah, doesn't have an obvious program right now. And he hasn't had an obvious program for a year, since The Undertaker.
Basically, yeah.
Because he did The Undertaker stuff in the Hell in a Cell, he hasn't had shit since. I mean, that Ambrose thing was just a thrown together,
yeah.
you know, garbage deal to get them both on the show against each other.
And who knows what's happening with Wyatt, right? So
yeah. And so, now it's like, okay, well, now people are talking about Brock Lesnar.
Well, they're definitely talking about Brock Lesnar.
And so now, and likewise now, people are talking about the WWE.
Yes.
And Brock Lesnar. So they've done that... successfully. And UFC. I mean, everybody's winning thus far in this, right?
Well, if we're looking at it from this angle, yeah. But there's a lot of ways in which people can lose, too.
Oh, yes.
That's... Yeah, but if you're looking at it, you're right. I mean,
so
right now...
Who's the opponent? The opponent's going to get named Monday night on ESPN.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Shane Carwin.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Shane Carwin as well. That was the name that comes out. To me, Frank Mir is on medical suspension.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't think he's on medical suspension. I think he's on steroids.
Yeah. So, remember, he had that...
steroids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he, of course, he denies it.
Right.
Most of the, like...
Because Mir would have been in.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, even then, it was a maybe.
Shane Carwin
is the perfect guy. Because, I mean...
In what way?
He's the perfect guy in that he hasn't fought in 3 or 4 years. Like, I think he's working as, like... I think he's like an accountant or something like that. I don't even know what he's doing now, but he's not fighting. He hasn't fought.
Okay.
He's retired since before Lesnar.
Okay.
He's 1 year older than Lesnar.
Yeah.
He hasn't fought in years. He's been working a day job.
Okay. And then he is a perfect opponent for him because he's the guy that almost, that came within a hair of beating Brock Lesnar.
Well, that's it, right? You have a guy who hasn't fought in years, who's a little bit older, who doesn't actually have the pedigree and hasn't been as active as Lesnar lately, but has a name recognition and almost beat him once. So there's a storyline there, but really isn't as dangerous as
the story
story would make you think.
That's right.
So that's and that he mentioned something about how he wished he had another shot at Lesnar about 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, and now his Twitter's blown up and he tweeted about, yeah, I'd love to get in there and beat his ass again.
Yeah.
Which makes you think it's not him. But
maybe, but again, he's of all the perfect guy because so many of the other, like, the guys like, Roy Nelson, or Josh Barnett, like, a lot of them either have opponents, Jeff Hunt, Jeff Hunt. Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's a Jeff Hunt?
What's a Mark Hunt?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's someone who, thinks that Eric Bischoff and Mick Foley should be the general manager of, Raw and SmackDown.
What about Mike Hunt?
Well, it's a little hairy.
Mark Hunt. Yeah, I mean, but obviously, he's not. The thing about it is, you want an opponent, like you say, you don't want somebody too dangerous, and you don't, obviously, somebody who's not on any sort of suspension or tied up in another fight, or not too dangerous, and not somebody who's likely to get hurt.
Yes.
So you're looking at a lot of factors. Because Lesnar hasn't lost a clean in the WWE since he lost to Triple H at WrestleMania. He had the disputed bullshit loss to The Undertaker that's pretty much ignored and seems like he didn't lose. So he hasn't lost in years.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that they want is for him to go in there and lose it. It's dangerous. And anything can happen in a fight. So you want the right guy.
Well, we just saw Bisping win the title. So
we saw that coming, right?
Yeah.
You need just the right opponent. It needs to be somebody you can still draw with, but somebody who isn't going to... Because not only do you not want to lose Brock Lesnar's mystique, you also don't want him getting actually hurt from somebody who can really legitimately hurt him and keep him out of SummerSlam.
Yes.
Is another thing.
Because, yeah, I mean, as soon as he gets a concussion, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen what they do with concussions, right? And then this... And with people that can...
Or anything.
With people that can make the money.
Yeah.
Like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, so, you know, 5 years ago...
It wouldn't matter.
Daniel Bryan would be money in the bank.
Yeah.
In a ladder match, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. There's that. I mean, part of it, too, I look at... And then there's the talk about who owes who. Right? Is this retribution for the Ronda Rousey WrestleMania Levi Stadium thing?
I don't think so.
Or is now, does UFC owe WWE?
I think UFC owes WWE.
Right? Because it's a match, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, quite frankly, this has started about April, too. We should mention that. Is it Brock Lesnar started training for this?
And I know people have been going, well, I don't get it. He said that he tried to do a training camp and he decided he couldn't do it anymore. He didn't want to do it. It was too much to...
Yeah.
But you have to understand, those training camps, when he was trying to do that training camp, he was going, okay, this is the type of training I'm going to need to be a champion again. This now is a different type of training, because it's not training to be a champion. It's a training to beat somebody in one match.
I want to be one match.
Who's not a Stipe Miocic or a Fredericio Verdum or a Cain Velasquez or one of these more dangerous guys.
Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah, like it's not going to be one of that guy. And again, you want the perfect opponent. I mean, Mark Hutton might be the perfect opponent, but he's dangerous because he hits so hard, right? And Carwin obviously hits really hard too, but the thing about what we saw about Lesnar when he was a fighter was he hated to get hit in the face.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so much the one shot that would do it. It was the continual shots that would get under his skin during a match.
Yes.
And kind of be like eventually just wear him down, and then he would be vulnerable, and then you can knock him out or take him out or whatever. But it wasn't like the one shot knockout wasn't what worked against him. Mm-hmm. It was like a peppering style.
Yeah.
And Carwin doesn't have that, and Hunt doesn't have that either. But Hunt is just, it's insanely hard.
Yeah.
And same with, you know, Roy Nelson, but I think he and Barnett were going to have a fight or something. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
But I think he's locked up with somebody.
Yeah. Barnett's locked up with somebody.
Yeah. But you don't want somebody with either great jiu-jitsu, like Murr. But more than that, you don't want that guy with that.
Isn't Barnett, it's Barnett and Arlovsky, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, because they've never fought each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Roy Nelson, I think, has some opponent. But I do think, you want that guy. That's the most dangerous guy to face Lesnar, is a guy who will throw anybody who can be a volume puncher, which is why, that's what Velasquez did to beat him. That's what Overeem did to beat him. It was these volume punches, especially to the face, that wore him down and that just bugged him too much. Like, he can't handle being hit consistently in the face.
So Bobby Lashley is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, maybe they could bring in an opponent, but it also, it's weird that, like, I wonder if CM Punk, who hates the WWE so much, and is now with this new organization, sees these two people working together, I wonder if that gets under his skin at all.
Well, part of it
tends to take a lot of shit personally.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little bit of a, what do they call that, hypersensitive?
I think that's a good term. Yeah.
Hypersensitive. And well, his He's going to be, his fight is late August, early September.
Against Nicky Gall.
Yeah, they're doing this,
I don't think it'll ever happen still.
They're doing this special
now
for him.
We'll see.
So.
We'll see.
Hell yeah, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, this is interesting. I mean, with Lesnar, so what are they, well.
This is, the thing about this is, the UFC is the one who can't really lose on this.
That's right.
Because the UFC is the one who's like, okay, now we bring in this guy in. If one of our guys beats him, that makes one of our guys a bigger star.
Yes.
And we're fine. And plus, we've drawn money on him. And if we're sending one of our people over, McGregor, Ronda Rousey, or somebody else, to do some angle or match, in WWE, we can control the outcome. And they control the outcome.
Yeah.
So we can make sure our guy is protected. WWE, on the other hand, could not only can Lesnar lose and make them look bad, but also the fact that UFC is going to be able to promote him, and he's going to mean so much more underneath their banner,
yeah,
than what UFC's been able to do with him. Like I know we're no longer in the pay-per-view era, but the last time he was on traditional pay-per-view where the network wasn't around, I think they did like 400,000 buys or something like that.
It's a new era.
Which is a good amount,
yeah,
for WWE, but 1 million less than what UFC could do with him.
Yeah.
And that's going to highlight this, and it's going to, you know. So, I mean, I also think the WWE potentially looks bad that way.
Like, and at this early stage, what we don't know, A, is the opponent, as we talked about, so yeah, that'll make sense. B, what the WWE is getting.
Yeah, well, they've got to be getting a lot of money, too.
Well, money, the you know, again, do they get, are they going to get a lot of money? Or are they going to get a talent that they're going to make a lot of money with?
Maybe and a little. I imagine a little of A, a little of B. The other thing is, you have to imagine there that UFC is going to be promoting. Next time you get a chance to see him is at SummerSlam, and hope that it's going to lead to a lot of network buzz.
Yes,
it won't.
No, it's not going to.
But that's got to be the hope.
You know? Because the funny thing about that, I know I read that that thing, and that was the first thing I thought. And the first thing I thought really was that they don't get it that all these people that want to see Brock Lesnar are going to see him fight in the UFC, and they're pretty much then going to have had their Brock Lesnar fix, and is not going to carry over another month.
Well, you have to understand,
SummerSlam.
He has an aura to wrestling fans,
yes,
to make wrestling fans want to see him.
Yes.
So that's true. But to casual fans or to UFC fans, it's a combination of aura, but it's also more curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you talk about a wrestling match where the performances are great, it's generally more exciting than UFC, because, you know.
You can control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the style and everything like that, right?
Yeah.
But the fact is that you take away the curiosity factor because, like I say, well, he hasn't lost in years, so he hasn't been scheduled to lose in years. Yeah. Like, that's what it is.
Yes.
Whereas the UFC is the, holy fucking, like, how is this fake pro wrestler doing in real fighting before?
Yes.
Now, in this time, it's like, has he still got it?
That's the
curiosity. And that's the factor WWE will always lack.
Yeah.
Because they've, you know, taken the curtain off, right? And you'd have to in this day and age.
Break the fourth wall?
Yeah. There you go.
But
he just waved at you guys.
He just waved, because it's a video podcast.
He admitted that. You're out there.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I did, didn't I?
You did.
Shit. Well, forget there's people listening.
Okay.
Okay.
Back to our conversation.
Just between me and you here. But I looked at it again. So there's the three possible people that WWE could get in return that you can look at, right?
Rousey, McGregor, and Punk?
Rousey, McGregor, and Punk.
Yeah.
Right?
So I don't think there's anybody else they would have any interest in.
I don't think they should have any interest.
No.
Right?
No. Maybe a Diaz as an interesting personality, but I don't see it.
Not a big enough star.
Bisping.
Not a big enough star.
Cormier.
None of these guys are big enough stars.
Jones. Cormier, I think, would be interesting.
Yeah.
John Jones, maybe. But it's really those three.
No, because you're talking about, you're giving your biggest draw to the UFC.
Yeah.
In Brock Lesnar. So you're going to need a big draw in return.
Well, it depends on whether or not it's part of a package. If it's like, okay, you get Daniel Cormier, plus we give you this percentage of what, like, Lesnar gets this amount of money, and you get this percentage as well. Plus, we get to we advertise you as and him on SummerSlam.
Yeah,
for SummerSlam, like it's part of a package big enough.
And well, but here's the thing, and then you know Vince's response to that, right?
What?
What's a Daniel Cormier?
That's probably a good point.
You get Conor McGregor. Somebody could sell Vince on Conor McGregor. He doesn't know who he is.
No.
Someone has to sell him on Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He knows who Ronda Rousey is because mm-hmm. she was there. And that's why she's the front runner. They've started to do some stuff already, you know, with her last year. So that's the odds on favorite right now.
And that's the reason why I don't think this is a payback for last year. It's too long for this to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So long in between. Well, and so that's the, again, to me, I think it's Rousey. Everything would lead me to believe that it's Ronda Rousey. People are saying Conor McGregor only because he's a guy and he's the big star that they have right now. And, I mean, he's basically a fucking wrestler. right? I mean, so everybody's saying this would be a perfect fit, and it would be, and so that's why the name's there. But
the difference is that Ronda Rousey has shown that she's been wanting to do this for a while.
Yes.
Whereas McGregor, I don't think, has ever shown that any actual interest in being a wrestler. I think his only interest is in beating Nick Diaz right now, which I don't know that he can do. And I don't know that he knows he can do, but he wants to try. Like, so I mean, I just don't see him as somebody who's, I don't know that he would ever get in the ring because he hasn't shown me that love for wrestling. He doesn't show up at PWG events like Ronda Rousey at the same night which a UFC is taking place, a competition to it.
Yeah.
Whereas Rousey does, it makes me go, okay, this is somebody who loves wrestling.
So they get, so what you're saying is they won't get Ronda Rousey, John. They'll get Tom Lawler.
I love Tom Lawler, but still.
I know.
I hope not.
But throw him in. He'll probably volunteer.
Oh, fuck, he would, yeah, absolutely.
But absolutely. I just, I look at, I think it's got to be Rousey at WrestleMania, I guess, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. You know, WrestleMania would make sense.
It's long enough.
It could be Rousey anywhere, but WrestleMania makes sense.
Well, it's long enough away now, too, that all the scheduling of whatever events and movies and whatever they've got is far enough away that they can.
But I think the only thing that, to me, about that, the only thing that makes me question that the most would be, I don't 100% have a sense that she's ever going to fight in the UFC again. So they lend her off to the WWE. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that part makes sense too, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So it's like, literally.
It's weird.
It is weird, but it's, this whole thing is weird. You also have to look, the other dichotomy about this, the other factor of this is that, UFC's up for sale.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And so, come WrestleMania, who owns the UFC?
Yeah.
Right? Now, they'd be buying into the previous agreements, right? But all of this initial planning and discussions and talks are going to be, you know, whatever, Dana, Fertitta's, and Vince, and Hunter, right? And so, you take the Fertitta's and Dana out, now Vince and Hunter are talking to these other people, right? Vince gets it in his head, as he probably will, that he can change the deal and sweeten the deal because these are new people and I can snowball them, pal. And so, you know, like, I mean, that's just another, just another thing, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that doesn't sound like Vince.
No.
People give each other new heads for Christmas, for Christ's sake.
Vince McMahon. It's,
but yeah, I just,
if it's, like I say, I mean, UFC can't lose in this. WWE can, though. I mean, if Brock goes in, beats somebody's ass, and doesn't get hurt, it's good for them.
Well, the WWE has the most to lose in this.
Yeah.
You know, and again,
the most risk.
They have the most risk. You've got UFC, like you said, they're getting the money. They're getting the buy, they're getting the curiosity, they're getting, if somebody beats Brock, well then they're getting the Brock killer, right? If Brock wins, wonderful, but it really doesn't mean anything else for them going forward, because this is just a one-off, but he's not going to beat anybody, a contender, right? He's not going to screw up their plans by beating Shane Carwin whatever, right?
Exactly.
And then you got the WWE, who can lose a bit. You've got Brock Lesnar, right? Who, like,
he can, but say, this can, he can
lose. Okay, he can lose. He can lose. He has but a risk. Brock Lesnar also doesn't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't.
Right? Like, so, like, the only thing that Brock Lesnar losing it's going to hurt is his WWF run. He doesn't care.
And as much as Brock Lesnar losing would hurt a little bit, the second that Paul Heyman comes out there and cuts an incredible promo for him, he gets a lot of that heat back. Because it's for Russell.
Yes, exactly. And it's Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And the worst thing that can happen is if Brock Lesnar taps him.
Yes.
Because then there's the you tapped out chance that will follow him forever.
Yeah, probably. Right? Probably.
You know. So, but then you got the WWF. Who's going to build WWE. This? And who? They're going to build this and promote this and get their fans, their universe,
yeah,
to watch this show for Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar alone is what they want.
Yeah.
And if he loses, it's like, oh. And then you've then exposed, like, I mean, again, this is, in some ways, the Ultimate Fighter falling Raw.
Yes, it is.
It exposed the UFC to a whole new audience.
Yes.
And that's what they're looking to do, is they're looking to take their WWE wrestling fans, expose them to UFC. UFC, like, it's supposed to be one of the best UFC cards that they've put together in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you're exposing these people to that,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, wow.
Which is also what CM Punk is.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, exactly. So the UFC slaps a CM Punk on there, although maybe that's one of the conditions, is that he can't be on it, because it's, you know, maybe a little bit vindictive, I don't know. But
no, I mean, if it's in August, there's still, the idea of CM Punk in the first place is bringing some wrestling fans.
Well, no, but
because, you know,
UFC 200, right, then is in July, so therefore the next show would be in August, mm-hmm. so they'd be promoting the next show.
Exactly.
Gee, who are they going to promote? CM Punk. Unless, like I said, that's part of the deal. You can't do that.
Well, we'll see about that.
But, I mean, the thing was, like, that's what they're looking to do. So if Lesnar gets knocked the fuck out, you've got A, well, this product was pretty good.
Yeah.
And B, Lesnar loser.
Yeah.
Let's watch UFC next month. CM Punk's going to be on it. Oh, yeah, let's do that. SummerSlam? I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
But I think the WWE strategy, and it's maybe not a bad one here. And I did say WWE strategy.
Really? Oh, and you said not bad.
I know. But is, hey, this is good, or this is whatever, but it cost me $60.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the value of WWE at $10 for the network seems better. Like, maybe that's part of it, too.
I don't know. Yeah, that's... Well, I think that's part of the overall model of $9.99.
And that's part of the thing is, we used to be in a day and age where it's like, most people couldn't afford to order both UFC and WWE in a month. And now people kind of... It's because WWE is so cheap.
Yeah.
That's not out there anymore. And it also makes you wonder, is this is a one-off for Lesnar.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's a one-off for UFC and WWE.
That's right.
We don't know what kind of relationship they'll have going forward, or if there's going to be more of this type of stuff. And if it's mutually beneficial, I can see it happening.
Yeah, there's nothing that says that Jack Swagger can't be an opening match MMA fight. Seriously.
No, it's true.
Right?
It's true.
But again, new owners. Can't stress that enough. They're getting new owners in the UFC.
But that could take forever. Like...
It's not going to take forever. It's up for sale. They're taking bids. The process is starting. It's not going to happen overnight. But over the course, as I said, there very well could be new owners by WrestleMania.
There could be.
Right?
But
and so could that's... Could. I'm just saying that, but that's another thing in play, right? So
that's another thing in play, yeah.
It's really it's such an interesting time now that they've done this. This one agreement.
The other thing is, I just don't know where. Here's a weird one. What if the idea is, we talk about how there's no opponent for Lesnar.
Right.
So what if he goes in there and faces, I don't know, their number 25 heavyweight, whose name we don't even know, but they knock him out and people are still curious about him, and he does something for the UFC. Not a huge name, or a car winner, whoever. He faces a tomato can, basically, that they're fairly competent in.
Yes.
What if the SummerSlam match for him is him versus Mirror in WWE in a wrestling match?
Yeah.
In a work wrestling match.
Yeah.
And Mirror gets paid, he's under suspension, but there's no reason he couldn't work for WWE. And...
Are they under the FLS? They are still... Yeah, no. They are. Yeah, no. yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they are.
No. They're not controlled by the USDA.
They don't go to the USDA.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's the, isn't that the name of the organization? That
USADA?
USADA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, USADA. Yeah. Not used to. They used to be.
Asta.
They used to.
Asta.
They used to.
Hey.
Two youths.
Asta.
Two youths, you know. No, I don't think. No, they're not.
No.
They don't get drug tested. So,
not like that, no.
So they're not, but they do fall under the, okay. Well,
they could use, there's no reason they couldn't use them.
But do they not, are they still not in some state? I mean, you'd have to, where is some stuff?
New York,
right? Yeah. So they don't.
I think they're fine.
They should be okay then, I think.
Yeah, I think they're fine. And so, like, that would be, okay, go in there and he wins there, and then, because who is the guy who is most likely to be in UFC, who already has a built-in feud, who they can give right away,
yeah,
who is the type of person who seems like he can work a wrestling match and talk wrestling promos. That is Murr.
We just talked about three people.
Yeah.
And so now we've added a fourth.
But now we've added a fourth.
So we could add a fifth.
Who's that? Hmm?
Is
that Barnett?
Ooh.
Barnett certainly could work fake wrestling match with him there, because he is a pro wrestler. He's done it before. He knows he loves it. And it would be safe, and it would probably be exciting.
Okay, so
but I don't. But I think they're more like I don't think they.
Barnett doesn't have the name, though.
He doesn't have the name.
So that's why
he doesn't
I don't
have the feud.
So. All those
also,
people.
He doesn't have
Murr doesn't have as much of a name, but has the feud.
He has the feud. He has a pretty big name.
It's right behind us. Right?
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar and Frank Murr here, Saturday, July 11th.
Yeah,
UFC 100.
UFC 100.
Chael.
I don't know that Chael's even under contract to them anymore with what it is. I mean,
nope.
He's retired for, I mean, it's been a couple of years, but you're right. Maybe he is. That is something that you could work out. Chael versus.
Well, I talked to
Lesnar or just Chael versus anybody?
Just Chael.
Just
yeah.
Chael in general.
Who gives a fuck what he's doing? He's Chael.
Yeah.
No, but really, I think you got.
So they'd have to clear that with Global Force Wrestling.
Yes, when you just have to do that. No, but I think. I talked about it.
No, it's true, though.
I talked about it. It must
talk about your wrestling personalities.
I must have talked about this 2 years ago. 3 years ago. Is what do you do with Lesnar? And the day after WrestleMania, you have Lesnar jumped by, like, Chael and Barnett and Murr. And you get another guy.
Yeah.
And you have four MMA fighters that come in to take over.
Yeah.
And that's really, if you could do a UFC invasion of the WWE... That has some money.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, that's potential.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, again, I've just suggested it and got excited about it, so it's not going to happen.
No.
Right?
And like I say, I mean...
So, Ronda Rousey...
At the time that you were talking about it, it was largely people, though, that were available and weren't under contract to UFC anymore.
Right. Well, because...
There was a bunch of them at the time.
Because there wasn't going to be
a
working relationship necessarily.
Now it's a working relationship, but, UFC, the UFC has always worked really, really hard to distance themselves from wrestling in the fact that they don't even want the people coming out and, you know... And being too much entertainment on the way to the ring and whatever. Like they're very much like, we don't want anybody questioning the authenticity of this.
Yes.
But maybe they're past that. Maybe they're like, well, now we're so big and established and known, we don't have to worry about people thinking that it's fake anymore.
Yeah, now we don't care.
Now we're bigger than the WWE in a lot of ways, so we don't, so it's no longer that shadow.
If they're a $3 billion sale company,
yeah.
You know, then yeah, they're three times.
They're still not as famous and as well known in pop culture, but in a lot of ways they're bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're certainly well enough known. So who knows? It is very interesting, but back to Rousey, as you say.
Well, I just think that's
the most likely one. But it also comes down to 2 years later, if you do a match with Rousey, I don't see you putting her in a tag match. I don't know who you put her against. Like, I don't know. No. Stephanie is a 40-year-old non-wrestler.
Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh.
Why would you do that?
I wouldn't. They will.
The whole match would be her having to run away and do tricks and, you know, Rousey beats legit. Mm-hmm. You don't want your most legit, like, I was trying to think of who are the people. It's like, who would get the most out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Stephanie.
What?
I mean, I don't know that anybody would really get the rub from facing Ronda.
Yeah. It's, I mean...
Like, Natalya would have the best match with her.
Yeah.
I think there's no question. Natalya, I mean, she has a lot of that catch but wrestling
style. But
she's got to
be...
Rousey's have the best match.
Rousey's got to be a babyface. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not saying
so. So Natalya can't be a heel at this point.
Probably not, no. But I'd say she would have the best match.
Right, oh yeah.
Charlotte might get the best rub, be the most likely to get a rub.
Yeah.
Bailey would be interesting, and the Bailey could be bounced around all over by her and be selling all the time. And you don't even have to do a traditional heel babyface thing. But Asuka is the one who would seem like the most legit badass that people would think, oh fuck, she's the one, she's legit, she could face Rousey.
What about Nia Jax?
No.
Oh, you know what's money?
What?
Ronda Rousey and Eva Marie.
Oh, well, fuck. People would probably actually pay for that, hoping that she would seriously smash
it. Yeah, but I think...
Because they hate Eva Marie so much.
I think, though, that you've got a few options.
Asuka would be the most, like...
Asuka, yes.
People would be like, well, Asuka's a legit killer.
There's three.
Now it's a legit killer versus a legit killer.
But
not Stephanie, please.
I would do Sasha Banks. Because she could go heel.
She could go heel. I just don't know that the dynamic quite works.
Now, the other one is... I think they're top three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the odds on favorite right now is Steph.
I know, but it's a 40-year-old non-wrestler who's not very athletic.
So,
and you saw her, and her legs looked great, and her shorts were short, but her fat was hanging out the side of her shirt on Monday.
Yeah. I still think, though... So if they don't do Stephanie,
it's fat me.
Then their odds on favorite is
Charlie?
Nikki Bella.
No, fuck no.
Oh yes it is.
No, fuck off.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Go, this is the part of the podcast where yourself you fuck.
I'm gonna go. But no, they would look at Nikki Bella.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
Why?
Because she's fucking John Cena and she's a heel.
She's not coming back as a heel. When you come back, you're a babyface one day.
Like Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But, and then Charlie. And so, you know, I could see that too.
Yeah.
You know.
I just don't think Nikki Bella. I think they want somebody who's, you know. I mean, it's no coincidence.
No, they don't. You want that. They don't give a fuck about that.
It is no
coincidence. They don't give any fuck about that at all.
It is no
coincidence. No fucks do they give about that.
How many fucks?
Zero. No fucks. That's what you got.
The WWE women's division has taken off when the Bellas have been gone. To a large degree. I don't think that's a coincidence at all.
No, it's not.
She is coming back, though.
Yeah, whatever.
She can come back. She has to change her look. Like, she... Like, seriously, she has to be...
Breast reduction, become a hippie.
Well, certainly, the more looking like a legit athlete and less like a model as you come to the ring is actually important right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But I just don't think... I think they want to put Rousey in there with somebody who they think could have a really good match and is a really good athlete.
No, they don't.
I think they would.
No, I don't think Vince gives a fuck.
I think the idea of... I think Stephanie 101 is not likely. If it is Stephanie, I would think it would be The Rock and Rousey versus Hunter and Stephanie.
Okay.
Because that way you could hide Stephanie and Rousey a lot more.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we can book that. I'm okay with that.
And that would be...
And that's the match that they set up 2 years
ago. But if you're going to do Natalya and Rousey versus, you know, Sasha Banks and Charlotte, well, that I don't want to see.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're right, though. I think that's good. Let's do Rock and Rousey against Hunter and Stephanie. That's done. I'm fine with that. I am fine with that, and then you do...
It still doesn't get the rub, though, to... It's really weird, because I was
thinking... They don't give a fuck.
I know they don't. But one of the things I was realizing was, this was before the brand split, like right before they announced the brand split.
Right.
I was starting to think to myself, I could already book WrestleMania for next year.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about how there was like those 14 guys who are potential main eventers.
Yes.
And I was literally sitting there going, there's a bunch of fresh matchups, and I was like, man, I could build an incredible card that I guarantee would galvanize the fan base without a single ounce, without The Rock, without Hunter, without a single star from the past.
Wait, shut the fuck up. Without Hunter?
Yeah, seriously.
No.
Hunter not at the show and wrestling at the show. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it for a second.
I'm not saying it wasn't happening. I'm just saying you certainly could.
No. That's what I don't buy. Hunter is the most important wrestler in the history of wrestling. I was going to say our time, but really
it's true, because we were watching the draft special, the original
one
from 15 years ago.
Yes.
And who was in the main event? Stephanie.
Hunter.
And Chris Jericho.
Yes. With my wife. And we were explaining to her that, and Stephanie lost, and so she had to leave the WWF forever.
Yeah.
So we're explaining to my wife, like, that's why she doesn't know who Stephanie is, because Stephanie had to leave forever.
She hasn't seen her since.
Never come back, so that's why she didn't know.
Yeah.
Although she was pointing out at one point that she had no idea who these people were.
Well, but that was RVD and then Kurt Angle.
There was somebody else, though. Oh, and Maven.
Oh, and Maven.
Maven. She's like, what?
Yeah. His name is Maven.
Baffling.
To everybody.
Yes.
Hardcore champion. Maven, the rookie.
The rookie sensation.
Yes. But no, they can, I mean, if you do a Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar, you do Nakamura versus Seth Rollins, you do Zayn versus Owens, yeah, that's
after
fine.
Keeping him apart.
Yeah, that's fine. Zayn versus Owens. You do Rollins. Or you do Ambrose. You do Ambrose. Taker, Cena. Well, no, you don't even need Taker there. He was somebody else. I was like doing this without. You do Cena, and Reigns. You do like there's enough that you could do it. You don't
need to unify the belts.
You do the Usos versus American Alpha.
Yeah.
You do the Club versus the Wyatts. Like, there's enough there that you could actually do.
Who do the Von Villains face?
Battle Royal, man. Battle fucking Royal.
Oh, but they co-winners, you mean.
Yeah. But that's it, though. There's plenty of matches. You could build a great WrestleMania card right now without bringing in a single star from the past.
Ambrose and Cesaro.
Sure.
Yeah,
I was going to say Styles and Cesaro.
Actually, I do Cesaro and Sami Zayn.
Actually, the one I like is Cesaro and actually Nakamura. I think that would be awesome.
That'd be awesome too. Yeah.
But that's the point. Is there's so many that you could actually build a card.
Ambrose. Yeah.
Yeah. You would build a card that people could go nuts for, or just the Shield that explodes, right? Or the Super Shield explodes.
The Mega Shield.
The three way finally happens, right? Yep. But the point is, you could build that card without a single star from the past, older person,
right?
Like outside, like you could do that.
So what they will do?
Well, Hunter and Steph versus Rockin'. Yeah. If you have to just that one,
and Cena and Taker.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about Taker. But you're right. But they don't need to. But they're finally in that position where it would behoove them.
Oh,
I used galvanize earlier.
Yes.
I like a lot of good words, you know? It would behoove them, though, to move past this. Are you writing this down? Did I use good words? Mo used good words. Behoove. It would actually...
I'm going to call the show Galvanizedly Behooved.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It would be good for them to move past putting it in people's minds that the old stars are the real stars, and that you need the old star. Like, that's one of the things that they did for a while there was they used to always bring in this outside celebrities. Mm-hmm. And then Vince McMahon said one day, our stars are just as big as the outside stars, and we're not bringing them in for WrestleMania anymore.
That's right, and then you got WrestleMania 12, and people, like, would leave during the main event.
Well, no, I think it's what happened, though. I mean, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Well, like not this, so much 14, but okay.
Well...
Mike Tyson.
Okay, 14.
And if you smell what The Rock is cooking, Jenny.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but there was like 15, 16, 17.
Well, 15 they had the WrestleMania Rage Party, remember?
That's true.
That's where they put all the celebrities.
That is where
musical people, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like the chef from South Park, Isaac Hayes. Some other, this guy, Big Pun, who I don't even, I have no idea.
The point is, though, and that 16, 17, 18, like, they did move to the point where Vince McMahon was like, that's what he said, was these, well, our current stars are as big as anybody, so why are we going to bring in outside stars? Let's just put the spotlight on them. Right. And that's where they should be right now. It's like, okay, they're not as big, but they have the potential right now with some people. So instead of, because you're conditioning your fans to think that the older stars are bigger stars.
Oh, they are.
Oh, and well, and that's obvious when Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley and Steve Austin come out and lay out, you know, the New Day and the other team, whoever that was.
The League of Nations.
Whatever.
Yes.
So, but you're conditioning your fans to think that, and conditioning your fans to wait for that, and to wait for, and to think that that's, no, you gotta condition your fans to go, okay, this is, we got something here now. And that's what they need to do, and that's what they need to stop bringing in the old stars. Stop bringing in, like, all the outside stars. Like, one or two matches like that is fine. But they relate to, we've always talked about how that's their trick, and we're like, oh, they are running out of tricks. But they always seem to find another one. But they're actually at the point where they don't need to find another one.
No.
It might actually hurt them a little bit short term, but long term it would benefit them.
What if, though, you could kind of mix the two? Like, you do like a gauntlet type style where, like, it's like a mini, what are like a triangle match that you used to do in WCW. Like, you have Edge and Booker T, right? For Nakamura Shampoo, and the winner gets Nakamura. This makes perfect sense.
Do that. Right? Do the Booker T. Do the commercial.
Yo, Japanese people! What's the deal with your nasty hair? You need hair like me. That's why I use Nakamura shampoo.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
I'm wearing a Nakamura t-shirt.
You are. Strong style has arrived. It's a fucking fantastic
shirt.
Here's
a great yellow crown on
NXT on there.
Yeah,
it's great.
This is good. My AJ Styles and Nakamura t-shirts arrived.
They arrived.
My certified birthday shirt is still in the mail.
It's still in the mail. Yeah. Well, because that one's not true.
But you can't teach that.
Can't teach that.
Yes.
My name is Enzo Amore.
He is fantastic.
I am a certified G and a bona fide stud.
A bona fide stud.
And you can't teach that.
That's true. That's true. You know what Brock Lesnar...
This here is Big Mo. He's 700 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Finish it.
And you can't teach fat.
There you go.
Yes. Mo is going to finish it, but he took a bite of something. I think...
I'm having an Orange Julius. Do we have those in America?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so.
Well, if they don't, fuck them.
But you know what?
That's what most of our listeners are, but still, fuck them.
Yeah, well, that's unbelievably true.
That's when your notes right there, right?
Yeah, they're there. USA, fuck them.
And our fans, listeners?
USA is not okay.
Fuck them. USA is not okay.
Frenchie Martin. Good old Frenchie Martin. But yeah, I mean, like, this whole thing about Brock Lesnar and the UFC has taken the focus away from his WrestleMania 20 opponent.
Oh, yeah, Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Good point. It really has. I haven't thought about Goldberg now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Goldberg was the big story.
Goldberg was like the Goldberg doing this 2K 17 commercial. And that was, it hatched, apparently, is what WWE was promoting on this thing. I didn't really on their social media.
You were assuming.
Yeah, I was assuming that you could be the gooker in the game.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome,
by the way. Fucking would.
But the commercial was great.
And then you could also be Chavo Classic, it's the same moveset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. It was Hector.
No, it doesn't matter. Same moveset.
So, Eddie, Chavo, Mondo, Gory.
Gory. Gory Sr., Gory Jr.,
Shaw
Guerrero.
Aiden. Aiden Guerrero.
Aiden Guerrero.
Vicky.
Yes, Aiden Guerrero, part of the Von Villains.
Yes. Well, they were big in Mexico.
Yeah.
But I think the commercial was great.
It was awesome.
Of course, the newest writer to the World Wrestling Federation, 2K17.
Yeah.
Because it's the end of the commercial in the rearview mirror, you see where they're leaving.
Or Suplex City.
Suplex City.
Yeah. Right?
So They want to see it again. They're trying to book that again.
I don't even know that they're trying to book that again. I think it's more just the idea of I think it's more just the idea of tying in something cool from the universe. The WWE universe into this commercial.
Recreate that match, right?
Yeah. That's one of the things you can.
Those two guys, right? That's, I think, yeah, that's what I read into it. Yeah. It's just like, oh, that's their, you know, that's his most famous WWF match. Right?
Infamous.
Goldberg, yeah.
It's infamous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely his most famous WWF match, because really, I mean, other than that.
he had The Rock, you know, when he first came in against The Rock, right?
Yeah,
the,
that's probably his
was,
other.
And at that point, The Rock was really just a cartoon character.
Way over the top. Yeah.
You know,
singing and stuff.
That whole run was really forgettable for The Rock, to be honest.
Yeah, well.
That Hogan, Goldberg, that run.
It was entertaining as hell, but it's not, yeah.
Not productive at all. Not productive. He didn't care at that point. It was just...
He was just having a good time.
He was just, exactly, right? So...
He's like, they're going to boo me. Well, I'm going to be heel, and I'm going to be the most entertaining heel of all time. Mm-hmm. And he was.
And he was.
Yeah, but it's not money.
Yeah, the Hurricane, you know, it's like, those great stuff, the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, that's the thing is now they're, again... No, nothing's for sure, obviously, but again, when you talk about the history of 2K.
Yes.
And then, you know, really, 2K is the olive branch or the beginning of, you know, reaching out or opening the lines of communication, as it were, between superstars and wrestlers that have been on the outs and then WWE,
well,
right?
The thing is, Goldberg has said that he talked to Paul.
Yeah.
To Triple H there. Talked to Paul and said to him, I'd be willing to put all this aside to have a match because my son wants to see me wrestle one time.
Yeah.
And then he also said, after this commercial aired, he said it was great to be put in the game. I'm 30 pounds lighter than I was then, but I could get back to that, for one time, for one match if the situation was right and my son wants to see me wrestle again.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt it's going to happen. I don't know who it would be against. I don't think it would be Lesnar. I don't think it makes any sense to put your 39-year-old still in his prime star in there against a 49-year-old. Even if he gets his win back, I think you're better off. I don't think people want to see a Goldberg lose. I think you're better off to put him in there against somebody who's entered, somebody like a Miz, who's entertaining enough in that role, but can get squashed and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. And,
you know, like, I think you're better off going with something like that. Or Jericho or something like that. Like, I think you're better off. I do. I think you're better off. He's a professional.
I know.
So, and they squish that too. But I have no doubt it's going to happen because of the way he is talking. And
Bray Wyatt.
I don't think it's a good move to put a guy who has potential and is young.
Yeah.
It has to be the right guy. Like, a guy like Miz is really good for what he is now, but even with the brand split, he's not world title material. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's better here, and the act is better and everything, but
he's got the right guy.
A good guy like that. He doesn't have a lot of potential still.
No, but the storyline makes sense. He has the cocksucking motherfucker of today versus the cocksucking motherfucker of the 90s.
There you go.
So, it just, you know.
There you go.
The passing of the cocksucking motherfucking torch.
Well, wouldn't that have been Shawn Michaels, actually?
Yeah, it could be.
It could be.
But I think
the only question about Goldberg to me is it just leading to the Hall of Fame, or is it leading to a match
and then the Hall of Fame? It's a match and then the Hall of Fame.
I'm pretty sure. And
it's the Sting
treatment. That's good. And again, though, it's like, this isn't what you need, but if you do this, like, then you don't need The Rock, like and Rock and Undertaker. You want to at some point shift the focus to your current people.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is that I'm already starting to see the WrestleMania card take shape, and it's Rock and Rousey against Hunter and Stephanie, it's Cena versus Taker, it's Goldberg versus whoever, right? Yeah. Like, I can already see it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, yeah, like, is it Goldberg, you know, or is it Goldberg against Cena?
You can do that.
I mean,
you could do that, yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Cena can lose, and it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, Yeah, there's that, and then, I don't know who you did, Owens and Taker.
Right? Yeah.
It's just, you know, it is what it is.
But I have almost no doubt, though, you're right, that this is,
so there's
everything to me is leading towards this happening.
But here's the other thing, too.
You
talk about how they don't need other stars, outside stars. And I'll tell you why I disagree.
Okay.
Is because WrestleMania now is a 74-hour event. Consisting of 947 matches.
So you need a lot of people.
You need a lot of guys. I mean, that's really, true. You have your jobber Rumble, your Battle Royal, and you have your three or four older star matches, you have your five or six, you know, current star matches, and a Battle Royal, and that's WrestleMania. It starts at 2 in the afternoon, and it goes until 10 at night.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is now. Yeah. So, I mean,
but here's another thing that we keep on talking about WrestleMania. It doesn't have to. Goldberg could wrestle one time, one match at Royal Rumble.
That's true.
And because of the network and the whole dynamics have changed, it wouldn't hurt for him to have his one match there and then go in the Hall of Fame and not wrestle at WrestleMania. And you don't have to end the WrestleMania and put the spotlight again on the different people. Like, it doesn't, like, the whole idea that everything has to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's kind of becoming less and less to me, because of the network and because of the current business model, it becomes less important to focus on that one huge event and more important to focus on making every event worth something.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah.
But that's not shifting away from their business model. I mean, you're right. I mean, we talked about it fucking years ago.
Yeah.
When you could go, when they had, when Brock Lesnar won the title.
Yes.
And it was like, okay. So now, he can leave.
Yeah.
If you build up, because we knew about this kind of months and months, like, after Rumble, we knew that it was SummerSlam, Lesnar's gonna win the title at the time from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, but now you've made, so you have an opportunity to set up and make your Intercontinental Champion stronger, your Tag Champion stronger, your U.S. Champion stronger.
Yeah.
And that can headline your pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you could just, at the time, or your network events, and just keep going and you know, and rotating it that way, so you don't have to have the world title can be defended on four big shows.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, they haven't done it.
They haven't done it.
But you could have.
And I understand. You could still have need
Goldberg, though.
Don't get me wrong. You still need to make WrestleMania special.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, like, it does not. Everything has to be in there.
Here's the thing:
just one or two things is all that's needed.
When you talk about,
you get one thing someplace else to make it special.
You talk about how you have to make WrestleMania special, and
you do because you're trying to draw 70 people to 70,000 people.
Sort of
70 people. Sorry, that was a TNA house show.
Yes.
But or TV taping.
The thing is,
I think there was more people making that Matt Hardy video than usually. Like, more people doing filming and...
Well, I think it cost more than their whole fucking
show.
Their revenue that they've gotten in the last...
The director's cut. Years. The Matt versus Jeff contract.
Brother Nero. Mm.
Brother Nero.
Yeah. But no, I just look at...
Big Money Matt.
I think this... Like, WrestleMania is special right now.
Yeah.
You've got that cachet of WrestleMania, that history.
The name means a lot.
The name means a fuckload. So this is a year where you can focus on your talents to get them over on the backs of the WrestleMania name.
Yeah.
Because you build WrestleMania up, you know, as part of focusing on those old stars, is that you've got that thing built up and the name is WrestleMania. And so you can build, quite frankly, it's a lot like WrestleMania 13.
Yeah, there's something
where
there.
You had Austin and Rock, and you had Taker winning the title, and you had the Rocky Maivia, you know, never mind that the rest of the card was shit.
Yes,
it was. But even
the 14, Rocky Maivia was shit too.
Even WrestleMania 14, yes, you got Mike Tyson got the eyeballs on. Ronda Rousey will get the eyeballs on.
Yeah,
okay, and it's with Rock, it's with Hunter, and it's with Stephanie. Nobody that's gonna be, you know, taken out of another good match, right?
No.
So okay, so you can have that to get the eyeballs on, and then that's when Sami Zayn and Cesaro blow the house down with a 20-minute awesome match.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Which is why, again, though, I mean, if you have that one match that's already going to draw people, then put the Goldberg match on the month before or the month after, and then You know, or Royal Rumble. And, you know, like, you don't have to, like I was all saying, is we don't have to load every, doesn't have to be five or six matches like that.
I'm trying to think
kind of what they've been doing.
I'm really, and you might be able to do this too, but I can think of three times, really, where on a big event, a wrestling match has drawn the show.
I'm sure there's more than that.
Like, I mean, Hogan and Andre.
Yeah, Hogan and Andre.
I can think of...
John Cena versus The Rock.
Oh, okay, so you see your throne. I was going to say Austin Rock at the Astrodome. And Hogan Sting.
Hogan Sting, yeah.
Right? You know, but all I'm saying is that those aren't as common. There's more times where you've had a Mike Tyson, or you've had a, you know, or a Dallas Cyndi Lauper, or you know, yeah, something
Donald Trump
helping, yeah, Donald Trump, something, yeah, to draw big
Floyd Mayweather, money. That was a match,
well,
to, still,
yeah, and it didn't really draw, but
no, it did. It went over $1 million.
Yeah, but that, I mean, was
there's other. Retirement. I'm sure there's others. We're just not thinking of them.
But what I'm saying is because we're not thinking of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not all out there, but I could name you, like, we just named just as many off the top of our heads of the celebrity that got the eyeball on, or the situation that got the eyeball on, like, you know, the Mike Tysons and all that then once they had the spot, once they use that person, and I think that's a perfect scenario, when you use that person to get them on, then you blow the house down.
That's right.
Right? And so that's what Ronda Rousey can be.
Yeah.
Is that. So, with promotions. I mean, you remember, she just showed up out of the blue. No one knew.
Yeah, exactly. We'll need more this time.
But I think, yeah, and that's Goldberg is in the game. He's not signed to WWE, but again, the history.
There's a feeling like it's imminent.
The history of it, too, with, you know, like the Macho Man, you know, got in, yeah, to the, you know, and got the DVD, and then, you know, and then. But there was Ultimate Warrior.
Warrior,
right?
Yeah.
Is probably Sting. A big one. Sting, yeah. You know. Is Bruno? Did that open the door for Bruno?
No.
I don't remember. No, because that was Warrior. But yeah. So I mean, there's all sorts of history of that.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So,
did you watch Will Ospreay versus Ricochet?
Nope.
You didn't watch it, huh?
No.
No, it's free, you know.
I heard.
You should watch it.
Yeah, I heard that too.
You should.
I will.
You should.
Eventually.
You should watch it. I just got to talk a little bit about this, just about Vader. Because, I mean, everybody's talked about it, so I'm not going to weigh in too much about it. But I
think you are.
I will. Go fuck yourself. You think I'm fat?
What?
What?
Well, you said you were going to weigh in.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a total combined weight.
So, anyways. Well, I guess right before the podcast, I did have a large iced coffee.
What?
A large... Orange Julius.
What?
And a peanut butter parfait.
What?
So, what? Health food.
Yes.
Yeah. But I just gotta say, Vader, I mean, he's complaining about this match. I just want to point out that Vader would do moonsaults, and Haystacks Calhoun wouldn't. Loch Ness wouldn't. Andre the Giant wouldn't.
What?
Like, he didn't wrestle the way...
No.
The way a big man wrestled 15, 20 years earlier.
I God, know. No.
He evolved his style, and if they had said, seen, you know, those guys see him doing a moonsault at a 400-pounder, they would go, he's ruining the business. That's ridiculous. A guy that size shouldn't be doing these flippy things or leaving his feet. And, you know, leaving his feet at all and doing these type of things. And so he evolved from an old style, and now he's complaining that somebody else is doing the same, and to me that's very ironic. Also very much, I think to myself, you're supposed to have a new style for the next generation.
Yeah.
Like your music isn't the same, like the music we listen to is not the same as the next generation, or it wasn't the same as the generation before. There's always new music, there's always new TV shows, there's always new music. The style changes of those things. And wrestling is the same way. Anything that's pop culture is the same way. You're not supposed to have the same freaking... Like, you're not supposed to listen to your parents' music. You're supposed to have your own. You're not supposed to have your own wrestler. You're not supposed to listen to watch your parents' wrestling style. You're supposed to create your own. And that's what they're doing. And you know what? Did I think the match, you slow it down about 20%, have two or three less big moves and a little more selling? Is it better? I think so. I give it 3.75 stars. But, on the other hand, Like, again, what if you're it's saying, for the next generation, that's okay. They're supposed to have their own style and work their own thing, so people should just relax and let something appreciate it for what it is in athleticism and effort.
So you're saying that this match has not ruined the business?
Fuck no.
Oh.
Not any more than Vader doing a men's halt.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. No, that's, I know, I heard that Vader was bitching about this, and I just like, that was the first thing I thought.
And other people, and then it became very, very much. But that's it. You're always supposed to, you know, I mean, yeah.
But without even seeing the match, I'm like.
Well, I didn't, all I saw was a GIF.
I'm like, Vader?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, but like, without me even seeing the match, I'm just like, Vader's complaining about this?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just, like, it's Vader.
I know.
Like, the Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah. Right?
Revolutionary Big Man.
Revolutionary Big Man. Exactly. Exactly. But again, there would have been guys
maybe it's
who,
gimmick infringement. You know? Maybe that's what he's pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
These guys aren't big men, though.
No, but still. But it's just, it's supposed to be an evolution. Hey, even comic books. I mean, when Fantastic Four first came out, their marketing slogan was not your dad's comic book. Because you don't want to read your dad's comic book. You wanted to read your own. This is for your generation, for the next generation. It's your thing. That's what this match is, and that's cool. This is the type of match that hopefully brings in a new generation of fans, which they need. Because let's face it, the people watching wrestling are fucking old.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a new era.
Yeah. With old fans.
With old fans.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of,
AJ turned heel.
Oh, that was awesome.
Wasn't it fucking great?
That was one of the best, and then I watched a bit of SmackDown too with him and, Kofi.
Yeah.
With his heel persona. I haven't seen the match. I didn't get that far in it.
I didn't watch it yet.
But his, just like his first promo as a heel. And it's great.
Is it great?
Yeah. He's just, you know. Yeah. He's not outlandish. He's not, he's not anything but what AJ Styles was as a babyface, just as a heel.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't changed, right? The internal, consistency.
Yeah,
is there, right? It's just now, he's like, he's not telling the fans to shut up, he's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's just ignoring that he always did. It's just, yeah, did you not see the beating I gave him? Like, this is our time, we're here, we're the club.
We're doing the world a favor.
Yeah. And so, it's great.
If you were doing we're 6 months into the season now, into the year, into 2016.
Yes.
If you were doing Observer Awards right now, like halfway point.
Right.
AJ Styles wins so many of these.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's...
Yeah.
And it's not even close.
No.
Like, he is so far ahead of whoever's number two in most categories, like Wrestler of the Year, Performer of the Year, and Most Valuable Player. And,
yeah.
Like, all this shit. Like, he is so far ahead. There's no way he doesn't win...
Oh,
like it's unbelievable. You could even I would even argue he could win Most Improved, which is amazing because he won Wrestler of the Year last year.
Yeah, I know.
Like, but I would argue he could win. Like, yeah. He is so far ahead of everybody else right now.
And as I said, I said this before with the last show we did. He's done it in the WWE style.
Yes,
you know, and that's the biggest thing is that he's. He doesn't stand away from anybody else.
No.
You know? No. He's just...
But even the way he does it, though, like, when he runs in and gives those punches to Cena,
yeah,
he looks like he's throwing real punches trying to hurt him. He doesn't look like fake pro wrestling punches, like when Cena throws them.
No. You know? The only thing he could have done better would have been to grab the timekeeper's tie and choke him out with
it. But, I mean, it was great, and it's like the exact... It's like... Look at a guy like Reigns. Reigns is working with Styles, has tons of momentum. Take him away from Styles, put him to somebody else he should have momentum with.
Yeah.
And it's just, he loses it all. That's how much Styles means. Like, he's just...
Yeah.
And I realized why he's so great when I'm watching that angle. Afterwards, I'm like, why is it he's so far ahead of everybody else? And I realize it's because he didn't come up in the WWE system.
Right.
And what I mean is, a guy like Dolph Ziggler is like, he's had it all beaten out of him. Like he doesn't, Dolph Ziggler doesn't believe if he tries, he can get ahead. So why bother fucking trying?
It's because he can't.
Yeah, exactly. But AJ doesn't know that.
No.
He's not aware that Because if you try harder, you can't get ahead.
No.
So he does. So he's trying harder because to him that seems like the logical. And it's not the case. I mean, if they decide that they don't want to use AJ in a main event role, he's not going to be main event no matter how hard he tries.
Yes.
The fact is they had decided they're going to, but that's almost a coincidence. But that's why he tries so hard, and guys like Ziggler and all these other, like Heath Slaters and Sheamus, all these people, it's like they had it beaten out of him. Why bother? There's a... I'm only going to get to the certain level, and I just don't want to make any waves and step on any toes. And I'm going to try my hardest with what they asked me to do, but I'm not going to go extra. I'm not going to try and be special because that'll just piss them off more.
AJ doesn't
know that. That's his advantage. Not coming up through the WWE system, he doesn't have all this.
Yeah.
He doesn't have this nasty habit of believing in yourself and trying to get over beaten out of him.
That's true. Can you imagine? Believing in yourself.
I know.
Cool. But I just think that, I ever since like he came in the Rumble, and he's just been ever, I mean, again, still, as much, how you can show how good he is, really, is, and it still doesn't make any sense no matter how you slice it, and no one will be able to convince me otherwise, but I mean, losing to Jericho at Mania.
Yes.
But it hasn't.
It hasn't hurt him, and he's lost a lot of matches. And yet, when he loses to Reigns, he loses to Jericho. He's lost his last three big.
He lost to Kevin Owens for God's sake.
He lost his last four.
Yeah,
and he gets in there against John Cena, and that crowd gets louder and louder and louder, and the dueling chant. And I'm like he's being like he is. Anybody else, they lose all these matches and they're dead. But no, because he's just great. I'm looking forward to his heel run. I mean, it needed to happen because they needed somebody at the top there, and he'll be better at it than people think. And it also still puts that whole Finn thing in an interesting place.
Yes, exactly. So because and from the sounds of it now,
and by the way, Carl Anderson, I love. That's the AJ we know.
Yeah, I know. Carl Anderson's been great.
He's also been great. Yeah.
We have been hearing, though, too, that the, I'll call it the gutting of NXT.
Yeah.
Is imminent.
Yes.
You know,
it has to be. There was that thing that went online. This is what the rosters will look like. Somebody had done up, this is the rosters, or this is the rumored rosters. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, good, because it was bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
But somebody was trolling the internet, and a lot of people fell for it.
Basically. Yeah, well, people are idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that, you look at it like, with Balor, like you said, and Joe and all these guys, so the gutting and American Alpha, you know,
yes.
It seems imminent here, but we can go through because NXT the end,
and that's right. It's on Wednesday.
This Wednesday,
and we'll see what happens after this. A lot. There should be a lot of interesting moves shortly after this event.
But this event is shaping up to look great.
Well, as they usually do.
There's five matches.
Whereas SmackDown is awful, and it looks exactly like it always has looked under Ryan Ward. NXT continues to look like it looked with Ryan Ward, which lets me know it was never Ryan Ward.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. but, I mean, yeah, Ryan Ward, the Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Of our generation.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm looking at, we're going to have the debut of El Sombra.
El Sombra, yes. What's his new name now?
Andrade Cien Almas.
Yes.
Yes, against
Titus. Instead of Manny Andrade, or whatever
he was. Yeah, Manny Androgynous.
I like that better, but hey, because I can pronounce it, theoretically.
In theory. But he's going to fight the Perfect Ten.
Mm.
Ty Dillinger.
Perfect guy to drop to.
Oh, yeah.
In your first match back. Who was it, his first match back? Sami Zayn faced or something like that?
I believe, was that not Nakamura's debut, too?
It might have been, yeah.
After
Zayn, yeah. Yeah, he's great in that role. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why I knew that this thing was bullshit. This roster was Tyler Dillinger was on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's one of the ways. That's one of the many ways. So was Austin Aries, which I went, no, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you got Nakamura and Aries.
Yeah.
Which should be a great match.
Terrific match.
You know, give them some time. And, yeah. And that's the thing about a two-hour show with five matches.
Yeah, you're going to get time.
Yeah.
Especially when you know that first match that we mentioned probably goes five to 8 minutes, if that. Probably 5 minutes at max.
Yeah, just a five-minute showcase, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Of it. Yeah, and the American Alpha against the Revival. So that's going to be an interesting one, I think.
Because you think the well, one of those two teams is coming up? Both of those teams is coming up? Neither? Well,
I think,
what is it?
I think it's just American Alpha that's coming up.
I don't know. Revival has been working house shows, and American Alpha hasn't.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
And maybe. Part of me, there was... And again, now, like, I can look at it with both two lenses, is that American Alpha, or rather, the Revival jobbed to... Ciampa and Gargano.
Yes.
And so you could do, okay, now they lost, and now they win the titles, and then they have an instant first challenger.
That's right, yeah.
Or B, they're losing on their way out.
They're losing on their way in. Right. It could be either one, yeah. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, no, I...
And I could see either one.
Either way, I think both are... Because I think the Revival's coming up first, so just kind of my feeling that they're not... But both have to come up soon.
Well, the
Revival are such good wrestlers as a team.
Yeah.
And I mean, they really almost need somebody put with them. I'm not sure who.
Sam Coulter?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, seriously. Well, that would have been the perfect guy.
He would have actually been.
Yeah. So instead, Summer Rae is hers.
Yes. You know, like, I don't know.
It's like, what
it should
woman?
Be somebody, but it needs to be somebody, not a woman. It needs to be somebody who can cut a promo for them, really.
Yeah, but there isn't anybody.
No, and that's kind of...
So what woman?
That's kind of the thing, right?
Yeah.
Alexis Bliss?
Yeah. What woman do we want to try to get over?
Right? Yeah. I don't know. Rosa Mendez on her way back?
Skip and zip.
I don't know. But, yeah, the Revival, either way.
That's the other thing.
But both of them are coming up. But either way, again, you're going to have a really good match. They worked together before. They had a good match. Then they'd be working house shows and had even better matches.
Yeah, no.
Like, there's no reason to think they aren't going to have a really
good match. It's just, again, American Alpha, I could see what you could do with them because they have personality.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The Revival doesn't. And like you said...
All they can do is have great matches.
Yeah.
But really, who do they do that with? I would think... The first people, I think you could probably put them with the Usos just because the Usos now have moved on from the club. And I think they would have really good matches. But you still, it doesn't matter how good your matches are, you gotta have some personality. And when people still don't know which is which, you know, and which is kind of amazing to me, but
it's yeah, legit. Because they look, I know, but because they look so different, but it's like, which one is which?
It's weird. So, yeah,
Yeah, there's just something that I don't see, but...
They're so good on NXT, but how do they... How does it translate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then...
But hey, I had worries about the club being able to have personality. And they've been great.
See, but I didn't worry about the club because they're the club, and they have that cachet, and at the very least, I thought they would be ass kickers.
Yeah.
You know? And so in many ways they are.
But in many ways I thought that the second that Vince McMahon saw Carl Anderson, he'd go, fuck, I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah.
And they'd start losing. And that hasn't happened. So.
No. Yeah. But the Revival,
I know what you mean. I totally know what you mean. They need, if they had the right manager, like if you had a Jim Cornette and you can put with them, I think they'd be money.
Oh yeah,
but without that,
Heyman, Fuji, you know, yeah, just
even Heyman, you know, all those people over the years that Heyman had given to him since he's been back, and none of them have worked except for Brock.
Yeah,
this is the first one I went, no, this would have been the perfect fit if they hadn't done it so many times and blown it. This is the guy.
Yeah, but you know what? They
they're not going to do it now.
No, they no, not now. That
never happened now.
No, I shouldn't say not now, but if they come up now, it won't happen, right? Because Heyman is going to be on Lesnar all summer, right?
Yes.
And so it would have to be
over at UFC.
It would have to be next summer.
Yeah.
Right? If they came up next summer.
And at that point, it might be too late.
Yeah. So
really, it's kind of a...
But the tag team, thing. I mean, tag teams, they've never had... It's funny, it's the weirdest time in tag team wrestling, is that they've never had more teams that suck.
I wouldn't even say suck, I'd just say... Or,
that I don't give a shit about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just more like more teams are just kind of there.
Yeah, like the Vaudevillains and the... Yeah. You know, and the Shining Stars.
I still have some hope for the Shining Stars. I think you put the Shining Stars with the Lucha Dragons and have a feud, and I think they'll have a bunch of really good matches, and personalities could kind of click in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think they have potential if they work a program together.
I could see
that. But right now, without them working a program together, you don't give a fuck about them, and that's understandable. No.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, not at all.
Not at all.
So.
So back to this event.
But then, so then we've got the women's title, Asuka against Jax, Nia Jax. And yeah, that's whatever. It's this big menacing person against the ass kicker, right? That's what it's that's how it's positioned. So
they first teased this before they even won the belts. Like they first teased this when Nia Jax was facing Nia Jax was facing, or was the number one contender to face Bayley.
Yes.
They had a backstage thing where Asuka did that thing where she just looked at her and smiled, that crazy smile of hers.
Yeah.
And Nia Jax was like, you want to actually fucking take me on? And so they set this up, and I love like that little subtle stuff, right? So they set this up a long time ago, and so.
How
good can it be? I think they might have a better match than Bayley's been able to have with Nia Jax. So.
I hope so. There's just been something about Nia Jax that it's like, I want to like her because she's different.
Yeah.
But I just haven't.
It's not, yeah. Well, she's still very green.
Yeah.
You know, very young, very green, but, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, when I look at...
This card's hurt.
When I look at this match, and this whole event, I mean, obviously there's only one match left, and that's Cho versus Belor.
Yeah.
I mean, the name that's not on there that it's like, should be at the main roster, is pretty obvious that it's Bayley. Like, no Bayley. Like,
Bayley's hurt. Not in real life, but in story.
Yeah, but in storyline, but not in real life. So, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's like, does that mean that she's staying down there to come back and face one of them? Or is it going to be a three-way? Is it going to be, or is that because she's imminently coming up?
Yeah. So
it's really strange. There's
two choices. Either Bayley's in a three-way or she's imminently coming.
Up. Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, she's the one that's, you know, I guess Asuka as well, but really Bayley is the one.
Bayley's the one right now.
And it's... Yeah. It's nothing that, like, again, they're going to do this NXT takeover and then they're going to have to do, then they're going to do tapings right after.
Yeah.
Right? And set up, leading up until the
pre-. It might start giving us some hints as to the rosters for the brand split.
I don't think so, because they're going to tape now. That's going to lead them up till, you know, probably August, right? Or you know,
not
maybe,
that long.
Not quite that long, but not long enough to the brand split. Because then probably about that July 19th, middle of July, because this is, again, July 19th. So you think middle of July they're going to tape, and then they're going to tape again, focusing on the SummerSlam, whatever they're going to do, the New York Brooklyn, NXT Brooklyn 2. And so, and then all they have to do is work one match. I mean, they had the ladder match, between Belor and Owens.
Yes.
At TakeOver Brooklyn.
Or, no, they didn't have a ladder match between them. Belor and Owens?
Yeah, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think the only ladder match wasn't it, Neville was in the only ladder match.
No, it was Neville and Bo Dallas.
Yeah, the ladder match.
Yeah.
They had another ladder match?
Yeah.
Was it a ladder match?
Yeah, I think Balor said the first ever ladder match. I was in the first ever ladder. Oh, no, it was in his first ever ladder match, he said.
I just don't remember it being a ladder match, but that's okay.
The first one in Tokyo
was
a match.
Yeah.
And then they came back at Brooklyn and they had the rematch was a ladder match, okay. I'm pretty sure.
But yeah, I mean, again, you look at the card and I think three out of the four, there's three matches that I think could be four stars. So that's, like, it should be terrific. Should be a terrific show.
Well, yeah. Yeah, a ladder match, takeover Brooklyn. So. Okay.
I guess the focus was so much on Bayley and Sasha that I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's true. And, you know, so I look at, well, all I'm saying is with the roster split, they could still, all they're really doing is they do one set of tapings and then they come back for one match. So it may not give us a hint as to who's coming up. Because there's nothing that says...
May, though, just because of how they're booked. Like, if they're booked to lose, if they're booked to, like...
Maybe.
You know? We'll
but Cesaro, we'll I mean, Cesaro was down in there for a while doing both.
That's true.
You know,
it's different, though. I mean, he wasn't on his way up. He had already been up, and he was just, you know.
That's true. Yeah. He's back, getting back and ready. But I think this cage match will be good.
The cage match actually could hurt them for how he's good. Because so much of the last match was them brawling outside, and, you know.
Well, the last match... was disappointing again because of the blood.
To me, it didn't disappoint. I mean, it hurt the flow a little bit because it kept going back to it. But in some ways, to me, it gave it more intensity.
Yeah, I thought it was more interesting. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's just in terms of an actual match.
One thing, if there's blood in this cage match,
yeah.
if they do anything to stop it, people will fucking flip.
Yes.
So,
right out. So. You better, wrap the chain and lock the door and make it a pinfalls only match. And,
go from there. Okay. Is that it?
But that's TakeOver. So we got TakeOver. We talked about AJ. We do have to talk about the passing of Muhammad Ali.
Oh, we absolutely do. Yeah.
The greatest. It's funny of all. I was looking on Twitter, and they're like, athletes remember Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Right? And it's guys, you know, some boxers, like Cesar Chavez, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Mick Foley. Was on there, and it was actually Mick Foley is the one that the picture that I tweeted you that came from Mick Foley posted that on Twitter.
Oh, really?
And I used to have that comic book when I was a
Superman
kid.
Superman versus Ali,
and it was huge. Like it wasn't the size; it was like this big. It was like two.
It wasn't that big. You were small. It wasn't as big as your.
No, it was huge.
It was huge.
It was like the size.
You were like 6 years old, so it seemed like it was actually the size of your entire torso. But it was when you were six. Now if you had it, it's bigger than an average size comic, but it's not it's not fucking 3 feet tall did. It's not, trust me.
You could fit a midget in there.
They're called little people.
Comic books? So that was great, and it makes fun. But it was hilarious, because I was telling my wife, I'm like, oh, athletes remember, right? So I'm scrolling over, and it's like, yeah, okay, so Mick Foley was kind of weird, right? And then... you know, yeah, they had some boxers. They had, like, Peyton Manning, like I said. They had, I don't think it was Mario Lemieux. They had somebody, Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
That said something. Same thing. Some hockey guy. And then Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I mean, good for him, but one of these things is not like the other.
I guess not, no.
But, but, I mean, he, great, I mean, big fan of wrestling, obviously, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Lots of people, you know, Roddy Piper used to tell a lot of bullshit stories about Muhammad Ali. But he was definitely... one of the funny stories is that, you know, people always argue, did he get his shtick from Gorgeous George or did he get his shtick from Classy Pretty Blassy? And then the only person that could confirm seeing Muhammad Ali at a wrestling event when he was a kid was Gorgeous George versus Freddie Blassie. It just doesn't help.
So probably both.
So, yeah.
Probably just both.
Probably both. I mean, you talk about such an influence on wrestling. Like superstar Billy Graham ripped off Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, it's largely. There was some of that.
Dusty Rhodes ripped off Billy Graham. Hulk Hogan ripped off Billy Graham. Jesse Ventura ripped off Billy Graham. Like, there's this ripple effect.
I mean, I wouldn't say ripped off. I'd say they're influenced by, but...
Yeah, ripped off.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say any of them. Yeah, I mean, Jesse Ventura, I think, ripped off Billy Graham. Hulk Hogan, I think, was influenced by. I think Graham was influenced by Ali. But, I mean, Ali was influenced by, as we mentioned, Gorgeous George and Sugar Ray Robinson. So, Sugar Ray Robinson used to do the rhyming stick before Ali, right? So Ali took that from him. Right?
Yeah.
And things like that. But a lot of people influence other people, but... you know, he had the match with Inoki, but also...
One of the greatest matches in the history. The birth of MMA.
And it was. You know? Like, it really was. as bad as it is.
There's some great...
The one with Gorilla. That's the moment I love.
Yeah. when Gorilla says...
Gorilla... I mean, he's the world boxing champ, and he just...
Made him look like a fool.
Yeah! Like, he was willing to let Gorilla just throw him around and make him... Give him an airplane spin and make him, like...
Dodge all his punches.
Yeah, rustler looked like the killer, not the boxer. It was crazy.
And Holly ran away.
Yes.
Was taken away.
He ran outside the ring and ran away. It's like... And
Gorilla just... I remember Gorilla saying this guy doesn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch.
Yeah.
At that point. And it just... Yeah. And it made him look like such a fool.
I know. It's unbelievable.
And then you had the other one where it was... what was his name? Buddy Wolf or something?
Yes.
Against Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
And it's from a Wild World of Sports. This is he's getting ready. He's managed by Freddie Blassie in this match, and Muhammad Ali's managed by Freddie Blassie. And again, Ali come in as a heel. That's why he ran away.
Yeah.
It's because he was a heel.
He was the heel.
You know, isn't that right, wrestling fans? And he was a heel. And and that was the best part. It's like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
When he came in and Mike Tyson turned heel. This was years later, but he wasn't a champion.
No.
Right? Like, he definitely wasn't made to look like a coward. He was just a heel.
No.
But it was just, this Buddy Wolf.
You would have thought, so watching this, the Gorilla Monsoon is the most devastating fighter on the planet.
Yes.
And Ali's a mid-card
jobber. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Miz.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
And he was willing to do that. It was great.
So he got it, right? That's the whole thing. Which made it even more amazing that come WrestleMania, he was supposed to be the referee, and then they got there and they realized he can't do this.
Yeah, he was at that point. He was already starting to. Physically,
wasn't even physically so much as mentally.
Yeah,
that, it was real.
Yeah,
you know. He kind of forgot everything that he did with Gorilla, you know, and all that. But that match against Buddy Wolf, and we put this up on at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. He had a few matches. He had one against Buddy Wolf, one against that confrontation with Gorilla Monsoon, and there was another one. A boxer versus wrestler, but the one against Buddy Wolf on Wild World of Sports is just hilarious because Howard Cosell is just burying this thing.
Yeah.
On commentary. he is just he gives the wrestler Buddy Wolf's amateur credentials and, you know, from university and high school and stuff. And then he's putting on a really nice performance here. He's he really must have hit him hard there. That looked ill. Oh, now he's punching him in that scar tissue there that he's not supposed to hit him in. And now he's bleeding from that scar tissue that he wasn't supposed to hit him in. I don't know.
Bleeding from that scar tissue.
But
that's the worst power curse I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy is just crazy. But I don't know. It was hilarious because he is just burying this whole thing.
That's what people loved about Cosell. He wouldn't play. He was drunk when he was calling it, probably.
Because
he was drunk most of the time when he was in the booth.
And he hit him and he pushed him down. He's like, and the Russian judge would give that swan dive about a 10. And, you know, it's awesome. So hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Muhammad Ali was willing to do all this crazy. He fought Lyle Alzado in 1979.
Yeah.
From the Raiders. In a boxing versus football match.
He just knew entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
And that's the influence.
Oh, right up, right there, Hogan and Muhammad Ali and Liberace there from WrestleMania.
You got the entertainment portion, right? He took it easy on Alzado, and then he realized Alzado was trying his best. And just, you know, for a couple rounds, just kind of beat him up pretty nicely and said, basically, you know, don't try so hard or I will really hurt you. And, but he did. He had a, you know, celebrity boxing match against Richard Pryor at one point. You know, things like that. He would just, like you say, he got that entertainment portion. Richard Pryor said he's, so quick. He said, Richard Pryor's quote was, he didn't see the punch until it was coming away again. He could have killed me. And instead, it was, barely touched me. Being hit by a butterfly. But he didn't even see the punches till they were coming back, on their way back.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You would float like a butterfly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's very sad. He's 74 years old. I mean, he hadn't been...
Well, it just came so... I mean, yeah, obviously it had issues.
For a long time, but the actual...
And he's a complex figure. He is an important historical figure. But from a wrestling perspective, yeah, he's also important from that perspective. But he was... when he got sick and it went, it was quick.
Quick, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. See, found out he got sick, what was it, probably on Thursday?
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, and then... Yeah. Yeah, I was watching. I always record Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. I can't stay up that late. Mm-hmm. But it's also on at 9:30, so I can't stay up that late.
No, well, you're old.
Yeah, look at me.
So old.
But no, I try to record it at 9:30. Then when I go to bed, it's say like 10, and then I'll watch the monologue, fall asleep.
Yeah.
I got about half. I got about 20 minutes in the episode, and they did actually, NBC did a breaking news into the show with Muhammad Ali's death. So, I mean, extremely from a wrestling perspective.
I still think he's the most famous man on the planet. I think not only was he the most famous man on the planet, certainly during his height in the 90s and the 80s and 70s and 60s, in that range.
Yeah.
I still think he is. And like, Obama's obviously very famous, and there's, you know, certain soccer players.
Donald Trump.
But, you know, Michael Jordan and Mike Tyson.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan's up there. But I mean, I still think he's probably
Nakamura.
The most famous. It's a huge thing.
But no, this is huge. I mean, yeah, and I mean, 74, and it's, it's sad. It's sad. But I mean, he's not, obviously not suffering anymore. And you get the feeling that, you know, you think about even from 1996 when he lit the Olympic torch.
Yes.
You know, and just shaking.
Yeah.
That was such a moment there. I understand inspired Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
To win the gold medal.
That's right.
He wasn't going to do it until he saw that. And so there's another wrestling connection.
Right there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
But and had he won quicker, he might have got picked first.
That's right.
In the inaugural draft.
That's right.
But no, I think Muhammad Ali. I don't want to go out on a sad note, but
Well, we won't. Was speaking of something that not suffering anymore.
Right.
Let's play this.
Oh yes.
Tell people about this. We're gonna play something.
So I don't know how many people are aware of this, but Total Nonstop Action Wrestling still exists.
And sucks.
Oh. Well, I think they knew that. But but it's still around. And for anybody, I actually encourage people, for the first time in over a decade, I encourage people to seek out this Total Nonstop Action. There's a thing on YouTube, a director's cut of a contract signing between Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. And, like, the first thing we both said, like, I thought of this, and then I showed this to you, and then you said the first thing I was thinking, which was White Castle of Fear.
Yes, yes.
When WCW used to do these mini-movies in 1993.
That were super expensive and awful.
And awful, and made no money, and just...
But they thought made them would, like, look, make them look more big league because they were so expensive.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And then, and like, it's this contract signing, this video. It's like 5 minutes long. And it's Matt Hardy, who's now Big Money Matt, as, well, Big Money Matt was his, and again, I haven't seen him licking this. But, so, from what I've been told, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. I don't really apologize. Fucking team, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
But, so Big Money Matt was apparently like this kind of this Ric Flair type guy.
Yeah.
Like this all together guy.
Yeah.
That was your champion. Your Adam Cole Bay Day.
Yeah.
Type champ, right? With the ponytail slicked
back
and
the
suits and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then, he lost the title and he's done this, and now he's snapped.
Yes.
So now he's got this big frizzy fro with blonde hair put through it. He's
striped down the middle. Looks like a skunk.
He's Lemony Snicket.
Yeah,
and is that the damn
thing? I think so. Yeah,
Johnny Deppy guy. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
But he's just and the whole thing is that he's lost his mom.
He's not Lemony Snicket. That was Jim Carrey. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's what they're. Oh, Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
So he's
except
lost
for balding. He's like a balding Sweeney Todd.
He's lost his mind.
Yeah.
And now he uses, he's got this...
Or is he just playing mind games?
Well, that's the thing. And he's got this accent, kind of southern English, British accent thing that he's got going on. He's just fucked up.
Yeah, and Jeff is just, in this video, is just like, what the...
Okay, here's, put this into perspective. Jeff Hardy's the sane one. in this. But this isn't even it, and it's not even the fact that they did this, or that they're having this, or that nobody gives a fuck about it, is that this video, when you see this video, it was like, it looks fantastic. It looks like this cost a lot of money.
A lot of money. It looks like it's filmed in 4K, and they got a crane shot, and a hell of, you know, like the camera moving shot, and yeah, and like some sort of drone or helicopter shot, and they got these multiple cuts, and
I'm willing to I'm willing to guess that this video could have paid some production peoples.
Some people that the people are owed money by TNA could have been paid by this, which makes me wonder if it wasn't the Hardys themselves that financed it.
Well, probably, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah,
like,
but it's this big slick thing,
and it's gonna draw no fucking money.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, when is Slammiversary?
Who the fuck cares? Slammiversary.
When, I don't even. It's in June sometime. It may even be today.
It could be. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, well, that's the point.
That's one thing I don't think they mentioned this whole thing. Sign that contract for anniversary so I can beat your ass on blank day.
Yeah.
Which is what you do when you're trying to, draw money.
Yeah.
They're clearly not trying to do.
No.
I think, I've mentioned it. I think Matt is trying to be so inventive and create this new character so that he can prove that he's a creative person and WWE will hire him as a writer. Because TNA is about to go out of business any day now.
Yes. All right. Well, let's play this video.
We're going to play this video. Yeah, like I said, this is Jeff Hardy on the way to Money Matt's house. And there'll be a couple little things you will miss because, you know.
You won't see it.
You won't see it. But then Reby and... But yeah. Don't get me wrong. Even it's worth just listening to.
You'll get the gist.
You'll get the gist. And it's still... But I still think you should go watch it. But... and definitely you'll hear us laughing over it. So, all right,
You'll get the gist.
I'm going to give you the gist. So, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
I invited all of you. Brother Nero, into my humble abode, because this day must be documented. When I signed,
wrestling is its best when it's not cheesy.
Yeah,
right.
It marks the inception
cheesy.
Of Brother Nero's in days, and tonight at Impact Wrestling, you will witness Brother Nero's personal Armageddon.
Oh, now here's Jeff Hardy on a motorcycle leaving his compound. And going to Matt's compound.
Yes, Jeff Hardy on a motorcycle. Did not break his leg this time. That's good.
Well, depends on your perspective.
Is that like his? Yeah, it does depend on perspective. He's still on a motorcycle, by the way. It's Reby and Maxel. Their baby. Reby Sky. Matt's wife?
Yeah.
Reby?
Whatever.
See, okay? But whatever the hell it is, I'm not sticking around. I'm just gonna leave it. Will you expect me to stick around? Matt's lost his mind. I can't talk to
him. Spud can't talk to him. I got done.
Done with you.
I'm done
with Matt. I'm done with all of this.
Done. Just, I can't. Oh, yes, Matt Hardy playing the piano. We're trying to figure out whose house this actually is. I don't think Matt can afford this.
I knew you'd come. You want me to sign this contract so badly. But this is about making you see the truth. I and me alone am solely responsible for all the success of the Hardys. Okay. In this house. In your home.
Yes.
The toys that your little girls play with.
That your little girls.
With my brilliance. People love you. Because you're a risk taker. Because you're a daredevil.
Taker.
Slammiversary will be your last appearance ever.
Matt, you're insane right now, man. I've earned everything I've got. My little girls play with toys that I paid for.
Sign the contract. What are you afraid of?
I am not afraid of anything.
But this is not the appropriate place to handle this. We must go to the sanctuary of Genesis.
That's my favorite line.
Where it all began.
The Sanctuary of our Genesis. What the fuck is that? I still don't know what that means. What? The Genesis of our Sanctuary? No, it still doesn't make any sense.
No.
Sanctuary of our Genesis. So they're on their way to like a barn or something?
Yeah, that has the Omega ring. Oh, yeah. That was Gardner just asking if he's okay.
So yeah, it's got this huge barn, and inside it is like this rustling ring and training facility or something.
Yeah, it's
that they apparently started at.
It's the Omega ring.
Yeah. But it's certainly been started in that barn.
Out of the ring.
Well, he's Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
You are fighting for the new. That jacket is fantastic, though. I don't know about the hair, but that jacket is great.
Yeah.
You will get one head stage. Why do we gotta wait this anniversary to make money, man? You and your sarcastic ass. Let's do it right now. Let's do something. Let's end it where it began. Isn't that what you said? Isn't that what you said, Matt? It is. It is. And go!
It is.
Oh, Rebby's back.
With the baby. So she distracts him by throwing the baby at him, and then it turns out to be a doll.
Yeah.
Classic doll. When he catches it, that lets Matt hit him from behind, and now Matt's gonna give him the rock bottom.
Rock bottom through a table.
And the safest looking bump I've ever seen Jeff take. In slow motion.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it isn't that safe looking.
No, God, no.
No, actually, the more I look at it. It's not a normal table. It's not like the table that you see at the bingo house or whatever that they usually use.
Brother Nero, it's over.
Over.
Brother Nero. Now that's it.
So I'm sure many of you, because you listened to that, are now going to go buy.
Yes, Slammiversary.
You're welcome.
We have just doubled TNA's buys.
Yeah, exactly. So they're now going to have two people buy it.
Yes. So that's Slammiversary on, well,
I'm going to look it up because I think it would be hilarious if it was today.
That's Slammiversary. Live on pay-per-view.
First off, I have to figure out how the fuck you spell Slam.
On,
June 12th!
Next week.
So we'll be next week. A post show?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No way in hell. Holy shit. Why do you not just die?
Just die, goddammit.
Just die, goddamn. That's our show. Just die, goddamn. We talk wrestling. Just
TNA,
die.
TNA, just die. Goddamn.
It would behoove you to just die.
Grammatically, that is an interesting word. Is that the one I used before?
No.
Galvanizing?
Galvanizing.
I think I also, didn't I use Audacity?
Well, no, we're using Audacity right now to record this.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
I can't think of anything else. Is there anything else? No, probably not.
No, we're only a team.
We're going to be off like a Jewish foreskin. Okay. We got at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. WeTalkWrestling.com is a great website. We're on the iTunes. We're on the Stitcher. We're on the TuneIn radio app. We're on, what do you call that thingy? Googly thing?
Yeah, we're still on Google Music. I haven't checked, but I assume.
I don't even know what that is, so yeah. Yeah, but we're on it. You can bet your sweet ass we are on it. Because
anyways, the point is you can hear us all sorts of different ways. And odds are you probably have because you're listening to this right now.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point.
Why the fuck are we bothering
Just do what you did before. Just do what the fuck you did before. It's that simple.
Bastards.
Why do we have to explain this to you?
Every fucking show.
Every goddamn week. I go in, I'm sick, I tell y'all... And you just go and do it. You've already done it.
You just go and listen to it again. What's wrong with you? Wait.
You people. I don't know. I just don't know. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it.
Another edition
of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
We off air?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We forgot to talk about Apollo Crews versus Sheamus.
No, we didn't.